beautiful Sunday morning as we continue our series that we've called Epic Faith. And that is my hope and prayer today throughout the course of this series, is that God, as we glimpse at some men and women of great faith, that some of their lifestyle of trusting God in big ways would rub off on each one of us. Amen? So that's my hope today. And this morning, I believe the Lord has a word for us today. In fact, can you turn to the person next to you and say, God's got something to say to you?
Trip them.
This morning, we're going to look at a truly epic woman of faith. I thought it appropriate and so timely, and just in the order of things, that on Mother's Day, we'd be looking at an incredible woman of faith, a woman that really became the mother of many nations. So she's a great woman to look at on this particular Sunday, but a woman that during her time on earth as she walked with the Lord and trusted in God, many would have thought her as maybe a cursed woman or forgotten or abandoned in a lot of ways. But this was a woman that I believe God was doing something miraculous in her life. And I wanted us to look at her for just a few minutes this morning, because God was going to do a miracle in her life. And I believe that just as God was working something out in her, maybe it's not the same thing in your life, maybe it's not the same at all, but I believe that God can do miracles in our life. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Sometimes they don't happen in the timing that we're expecting or hoping from the Lord. But here's the big idea this morning. If you're taking notes or you have your notes that were handed out to you this morning, the first idea is this, is that even when you're empty, God can fill you up and use your life to make a difference. You can get an amen in that for the house for that, because there's times in our lives that we feel like we're empty. We feel like we don't have a lot to offer to God. We feel like there's not a lot that's going on in our favor. But even in the midst of those places where we feel empty, I want to just remind someone in the house today that God can fill you up, and he wants to use your life to make a difference. Even if you don't feel like you got a lot to offer, even if you feel like you don't have a lot of talents or gifts or whatever. Because I believe what God wants to do is some God-sized miracles in our lives, as he did in the lives of this woman. The sort of miracles and the sort of things in our lives that only God could do. That is what I believe God wants to do. Things that we can't take credit for. That we can't say, look how good I am, look at what I accomplished, look at what I did. But sometimes we disqualify ourselves. And so I want to look at this woman's life and how she set herself up to be used by God and to receive this incredible miracle of God. And this morning, as we look at Sarah, a woman who was empty, as in barren, perhaps you relate to where she's at, or perhaps you're feeling empty in some other way. Some other thing that you've hoped for that hasn't come to pass. Some other thing that you've been dreaming about that hasn't come to fruition. And no matter why you feel empty, God is always able to fill you up. He's always able to meet us right where we're at. But the key is opening ourselves up to God and allowing him to pour his spirit into us, allowing him to work miracles in our lives. And the key ultimately is saying yes to God. Can we just say yes, God?
Yes, God.
So, as we talk throughout this series, I've really felt this picture has been apropos as I was praying about this series of what we were going to do. You can put the picture up on the screen. I had a picture of a surfer on a giant wave, and we didn't just choose this artwork because it looked cool, but I feel like this was a picture the Lord was giving to me as I was praying through what we were going to talk about in this season of our church life. And I believe there's something that we can all understand about this guy on this wave, whether or not we surf, whether or not you even like the water. Some of you are like, I don't even like the water. But we all have an understanding of what that guy is going through as he stands on that surfboard on top of this giant wave that's propelling him towards the shore. See, the waves is incredibly powerful. And this wave in particular, it could crush this man. It could crush any one of us. And if you've ever gone out into the breakers, if you've ever been out in the ocean at all, whether it's knee-high waves or waves like that guy was on, you know that there's incredible power that comes to push and to pull. And if you try and stand there and resist the power of the wave, more often than not, you're going to lose. Am I right? If you try and stand there, especially in a wave like that, you're just like, oh, no wave. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay here. The wave's going to say, I don't think so, buddy. and it's going to knock you over, and it's going to toss you under, and it's going to pull you around. But if you will, on the other hand, line yourself up, if you'll get yourself positioned in such a way, whether it's on a surfboard or on a boogie board or it's on a bodyboard or you're just standing there in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know what I mean? That wave is going to take you and propel you forward, and you're going to be able to experience the power of the wave, not to crush you, but to move you forward. And that's, I believe, a picture of what I believe God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to catch an epic ride of his Spirit. He wants us to line our lives up in such a way that we'll catch the wave. Amen? Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get crashed by the wave. I want to be in the right spot with my board pointed in the right direction, saying, God, I'm ready. So when that wave comes, like that epic surf rider, man, I can catch that wave and enjoy the ride instead of trying to fight against it, instead of trying fighting what God wants to do. Because if we will do that, we will see, just as the men and women of faith throughout this series through Hebrews 11, we'll see that God add the super to our natural. We'll see God do the supernatural in our lives. We'll see God do what he wants to do in our situations. And this morning we look at Sarah. And she had a God-sized problem in her life, a problem that was too big for her to understand, and it made her feel empty inside. But she needed to understand God's purpose for her. And as she understood God's purpose and promise for her life, she was able to stand on that promise and walk in that promise. But before we even get to the word, before we open up Hebrews 11, you can turn to your Bibles. I want to pray over us this morning. Can I do that? Because I feel it's appropriate that we just ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we just ask you to speak to us this morning. As we look at Sarah's life, it's so easy to get discouraged, so easy to feel disappointed as we think about dreams and other things that we've been waiting for or hoping for. Lord, this morning we pray that you'd reveal your Spirit to us, you'd reveal yourself to us. God, I pray for each one of us, if there's a dream or a purpose that you have that we have yet to discover, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to discover your purpose for our lives. God, we ask you to speak to us today in a fresh way, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Hebrews 11, 11 through 12. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there or turn in your apps. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation today. It says, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, although she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise, and so a whole nation came from this one man and woman who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there was no way to count them. Now this gives us a real glimpse at Sarah's story of faith, but Sarah was empty in that one way, but God had a plan for her life that was far beyond what she could see with her natural eyes. Far beyond what people, even people close to her, would have expected God to have done in her life. See, she had already passed the door, passed the window. The window was closed, right? And then we say the window is closed, but she was already too old, too far gone for God to do that thing in her life. And yet God had a purpose for her. Let me ask you the question, what is it that you've written off for God being able to do in your life? It might not be the same thing that Sarah was dealing with, but what is the one thing that you've said, I've passed the window for God to be able to do that thing in my life? See, I don't know what sort of challenges you face. I know the challenges that I face, and there's things that I see that I'm like, man, it's too far. I've gone too far past the exit, you know what I mean? I'll have to circle back so far that I've missed it. But this morning, as we talk about Sarah, an ordinary person that simply trusted in the extraordinary power of God, I believe she's an example of faith for us. And I want to give you a couple observations of her life and her type of faith, her brand of faith, so to speak, that I believe if we will glean, if we'll take hold of, God will be able to set us up for these sort of God-sized miracles in our lives as well. How we can have a faith that believes as Sarah did. And the first idea is this, to have a faith that believes like Sarah did, we've got to believe that God is bigger. Say those words with me, God is bigger. God is bigger than our problems. He's bigger than all the stuff that's going on. Hebrews 11 says, it was by faith that Sarah was even able to have a child, though she was barren and she was too old. Now we talk a lot in church about the glory of God. You probably heard that phrase, the glory of God. There's a lot of, that's one of those expressions we use in church that doesn't make a lot of sense, right? There's things that we say that sometimes doesn't mean a lot to us. But this word glory is translated from a Hebrew word, kabod, which means heavy. And it has this idea of heaviness or weightiness or those things that we place our worth in. And maybe you've been in a store and you've picked up a vase. You've seen a vase that was there sitting on the table and you picked it up and it's like, whoa, that's really light. It's a lot lighter than I thought it would be. That must be made of plastic. And then if you've ever picked up a crystal vase, something that's really fine crystal, you know it's like, ooh, it weighs something. There's some weightiness to it. There's some heaviness to it. And what it means, this idea of kabod is weightiness. Having a right view of God, of saying, God, I want to place more weight in what you say than I place weight in what anyone else on this earth would have to say about my life, about the dreams and the purposes that you've placed in my heart to do. I want to place those things more weight in what you say than what anyone else says. See, we live in a world that's filled with self-described experts. It's an amazing time to be alive. I mean, I was just talking about this. Like, I can learn how to do almost anything on YouTube, right? I had to replace the brakes in my truck. I was like, I'll just go to YouTube and figure it out. I'm not going to buy a manual. But there's so many experts and so many people that have knowledge. Some have a lot of knowledge. My wife and I always joke. I told her something I read on the internet. She's like, yeah, because everything you read on the internet's true, right? But in an age where there's bloggers and YouTubers and all these experts out there, it's real easy to get our idea of what's right and what's not. Even from pastors, I want to teach God's word in a way that I think is accurate and true. But at the end of the day, we've got to place more weight in what God's word says. And we've got to come to our Bibles and say, God, what you say matters more to me than what anyone else says. No matter what the experts say, no matter what the bloggers say, no matter what the YouTube expert says or anyone else, God, I want to take your word at face value and place more weight in what you say than anything else. And to have that sort of faith like Sarah did is to place more weight in God, to give him more glory, to say, God, I trust you more than I trust anyone else's word. God, you're bigger. And God is bigger than all things. He's bigger than my problems. Say that with me. God is bigger than my problem. No matter what sort of obstacle you're facing or what sort of prognosis or diagnosis the doctors or the experts have given, no matter what mountain stands in front of you this morning, you can know that there's a God who's bigger than your problems. He's bigger than your difficulties. He's bigger than your situations. So God is bigger than my problems. Another thing that God is bigger than, he's bigger than my disadvantage. He's bigger than my disadvantage. Some of us start with different disadvantages. They could be learning disadvantages. Maybe we didn't get the education we think we need to accomplish what we feel God has called us to do. Maybe we grew up in an adverse environment, one that has us left behind from the very beginning. There could be a million things, some real, some imagined, that we place in front of us. But regardless of how big those disadvantages are that stand before us, we have a God that's bigger than those things. Amen? Three of you believe that. We have a God who's bigger than those disadvantages. Amen? Amen? See, Sarah had some issues that stood before her, but she had a God that was bigger than those disadvantages. So say it with me. God is bigger than my disadvantage.
God is bigger than my disadvantage.
God is also bigger than my failures. No matter what mistakes or stumbles we've made, some of us have tried again and again and again, and we've failed, and we've failed, and we've missed it, and we've messed up, and we've fallen short over and over again, and we've started to allow those things that we've made mistakes in to become our identity instead of allowing our identity to come from who God says we are and what God says about us. The Bible talks about this idea of repentance. And repentance leans quite literally just to change our mind about a thing. To say, God, I've been thinking that I can't do this because I've made mistakes and I've missed the mark and I tried it, I failed, or whatever our excuses are. There's an idea of changing our mind, saying, God, this is what your word has declared for me. that I can't overcome this temptation because it's not too powerful for me to overcome. God, I can get through this season or this obstacle that's in front of me. And so we've got to change our minds at times to say, God, I know that I've made mistakes, but I thank you for the grace that was poured out on me at the cross, that I can be redeemed, that I am not defined by my mistakes anymore, that no mistake is bigger than you, for the cross is bigger than all of my mistakes. Amen? See, all it takes for us to transform our lives and for God to write a new next chapter is for us to repent, for us to change our mind and say, God, I'm going to stop placing my weight, all of my weightiness in what the world says or what my own opinion or what I think of myself because of my mistakes. And God, I'm going to start believing what you've said about me. You said that I'm a child of God. You said that I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. You've said that I am a child and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So God, I don't want to start believing those things anymore, but I want to believe what you have said. I want to place more weight in what you've said than any of those things. See, God is bigger than your failures. Amen?
Amen.
See, God is also bigger than my impossible situation. See, as mere mortals, it's infuriating to be out of control, isn't it? How many of you guys like being out of control? Show of hands. You do. Awesome. All right. Ushers, take note. No, I'm just kidding. We love being in control. I was just having this conversation with my oldest son this last week. We were talking about sickness. And he's saying, Dad, because he doesn't like to get sick. I don't know why. I can't imagine. He's like, Dad, I don't want to get sick. How do I keep from getting sick? And so we had a conversation. We said, all right, son, well, we talked about hygiene. You know, you wash your hands, make sure you use soap. And once you're out in public and your hands aren't clean, make sure you don't put your fingers in your mouth, right? We're talking about the basics. Take a bath because you stink, son, right? We're talking about those kind of things. We're talking about those kind of things. We talked about diet. All right, well, you got to eat healthy, eat nutrients and vitamins so your body has everything it needs to fight off infection and fight off germs and diseases that come near you. But at the end of the day, we had this conversation and I said, but even with all that preventative medicine, even with hygiene and diet and exercise and all the things we talked about, at the end of the day, you can still get sick. Right? At the end of the day, we can exercise 5 days a week and have the best diet ever and still we find ourselves with cancer. Still, we find ourselves with disease. Still, we find ourselves with a common cold. And one of those things, it's so easy for us to get overwhelmed because so much of our life is outside of our hands. It's outside of our control. And it's impossible to change on our own. And in those situations, those ones where we can't imagine a way through, situations where we can't imagine our way around it or over it if it's an obstacle, those situations, we have to be reminded that we have a God who is the creator of all mountains. We have a God that can give us a way through, around, and under, and over those things. We have a God that wants to walk with us through those things, that's more glorious, that's more weighty than those things. A God who doesn't leave us even when we have to walk around those mountains, or walk over those mountains, or walk through those mountains, whatever it may be. We have a God that can do those things because God is bigger than our impossible situations. Amen? So to have faith that believes, we've got to believe that God is bigger than those things that stand in front of us, regardless of what our eyes see. And that's what I love about Sarah's story, is that she did believe. She believed in God. And we'll talk about a little bit of her struggles in a moment, but she believed that God was bigger than the thing that stood in front of her. And to have faith that believes, the second thing we've got to have is we've got to believe that God's purposes and promises are true. Believe in God's purposes and promises, that they are true. See, Hebrews 11 tells us that she believes that God would what? Read those last words with me. Keep his promise. Say it again. Keep his promise. She believed that God would keep his promise. Now, I want to say that that is something that is so huge, is that Sarah, or Sarai, as she was named before she was given a new name, was given a promise from God. And let me tell you something about the promises of God, is that you can count on them. You can take them to the bank. You can plan on the promises of God. See, God always does what he says he will do. And let me just say this, God has a purpose and a plan for your life, just as he did for Sarah and her life. God has a purpose and a design for you. And we believe that God has placed purpose deep within the human soul, that for each and every one of us, God knows the things that he's prepared for us. Many of us quote that passage that God spoke to the people of Israel from Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. And we remember those words, but Ephesians 2:9 and 10 also gives us this great idea. And it says this, it says, salvation's not a reward for the good things that we have done. No, 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 no. For none of us can boast about it. For we are God's what? We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things, what? That he's planned for us long ago. See, the God of the universe, the sovereign one of creation, he's planned things for your life and for mine. He set open doors in front of us of good works and things that he's called us and made us and purposed us to do. And it is our job to discover the purpose of God for our lives. See, God has a plan for your life, and that's a plan that we can trust and take to the bank, even though it may be impossible. You know, I'll tell you something. I always love to hear the stories of people of faith and the call that God has placed on their lives and how God calls unlikely people. You know, you read the Old Testament, you hear men like Moses, men with speech impediments, and God says, I'm going to call you to go speak to the king. The king of Egypt was practically like the king of the world. I'm going to call you with a speech impediment to speak. And I always wonder at those things, and I laugh because that's my story. See, as a high school student, I was the student that took Fs on spelling, or not spelling, on speech, because I was too embarrassed and ashamed and afraid to get in front of people, and yet God called me to something that I couldn't even, I mean, I quivered just thinking about it. But that's what God called me to do. Now, I don't claim to be the best speaker in the universe, but if God has called you to something, if God has called you to do something, it may be something you say, this naturally doesn't look like me. And for Sarah, that was exactly the case. She said, I'm barren. God, you're calling me to be the mother of nations. Are you sure? Are you sure you weren't thinking of somebody else, right? But that is what God can do. And if God has a plan for your life, you've got to discover that purpose. And then you got to start walking out those steps of faith. Let me say to you something today, something that's maybe a word to some of you in this house today. See, the word declares that God knows the purposes. It says that we can do the good things he's planned for us. Some of us in the house, perhaps you've been trying to bear fruit on the wrong vine. Perhaps you've been trying to walk into good works. You've been trying to do things that aren't God's call on your life, that aren't God's purpose for your life. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that is in your life. But sometimes the hope and the direction that we desire for our lives is not what God's desire. It's not what God's purpose is for us. And sometimes we can have a purpose and say, man, I really want to do this, but God's saying, this is the purpose I've created you for, my son. This is the purpose I've created you for, my daughter. You're trying to do this, and you're frustrated, and you're angry. You're saying, God, why am I not seeing any fruit over here? And God's saying, because I've created you for this purpose. I'm going to make you fruitful over here. I'm going to do this thing in your life. But instead, we spend our time over here saying, God, why not? God, why not? God, why not? And let me just say something. As we talk about Sarah, a woman who knew the purpose of God for her life, she stood over here and it was still frustrating. She stood over here and she still had to wait. She stood over here and she still wondered, did I hear from God? But she stood here and she kept walking. She kept pursuing God. And there's something powerful about that. But we have to discover the purpose that God has for us. Some of us spend time over here and we're frustrated and we're anxious and we're worried and we're bitter and we're all those things because we're trying to bear fruit that God has not prepared us to bear. And so that may be a word for you today, that sometimes we long for things that are different. See, I'll go back to that surfing metaphor. Sometimes we stand out in the waves and we got our surfboard and we're saying, God, I'm lined up, but the waves aren't crashing. God, I'm lined up, I got my surfboard, I got my wetsuit on, I'm ready to surf, but nothing's happening. And what I believe would be a word of the Lord to maybe someone in the house today, God is saying, you're on the wrong beach. You got to go over here. This is where I've called you. This is your lane. This is the place where you're going to catch the wave of my Spirit. You're going to be propelled into fruitfulness in a way that you can't imagine because you've been lining up in the wrong spot. And sometimes we've got to let go of our dreams. We've got to let our dreams die so that God's dreams can be birthed and come to life in us, so that God can do what he wants to do. Amen? So there's something that we have to do in that, but we've got to believe in God's purpose and promise. And part of that process is discovering his purpose for our lives, saying, God, I want to discover what you've made me to do so that I can line up and get in the right spot. And I might have to wait for a long time to catch that wave, but I know that I'm in the right spot. And I can wait knowing that I'm in the right spot. The third thing we've got to do to have a faith like Sarah, a faith that believes, is don't limit God's ability to do the impossible. Let me just say something. Don't ever limit God's power to do what he wants to do in our lives. See, even when Sarah was standing over here, she had her board ready. She was ready to catch the wave, and she was still sitting there. But never underestimate the power of God. See, God made Sarah and Abraham this promise. And it was a promise that was, again, something they could take to the bank, but it was one that was pretty audacious. It was a big promise, bigger than they could imagine or expect. Genesis 18:11 gives us a glimpse. It says, Abraham and Sarah were both old. Say old. They weren't just old, they were very old. Did that mean of Scripture to say it like that? They were very old by this time. And Sarah was long past the age of having children. So when God makes her this promise that she's going to be the mother of nations, verse 12 says, she laughed silently to herself. She said, how could this happen? I just want you to imagine this. God is standing there saying, you're going to have children. You're going to be the mother and father of many nations. And silently to herself. You ever been there? Silent to yourself. She said, pfft, pfft. Really? Now? After all this time, God, this is what you want to do now? I've been sitting here forever waiting. What's up? Now you want to do this thing? Let me ask you, what is the impossible thing that you've laughed at God? That you've laughed at God's ability to do in your life? Because it would have been so easy for Sarah to do just that, to laugh. And she did laugh to herself. But the scripture records that she did believe, and Abraham did believe in the promise of God. See, Sarah struggled with this. It was a big promise. It was a big purpose. It was bigger than herself, which is why it was a God-sized thing. See, what impossible thing have you stopped believing God for in your life? Perhaps it's a relationship that's gone sideways or something that you don't think could ever be restored or reconciled. You say, you hear a promise from God, and you're like, now, God, really? After all they've done, after all we've been through, after all the steps we've taken, maybe it's a dream you've given up on. And you say, God, really, after all this time, I've tried and failed. I've tried and failed. I did this thing. It didn't work. I went to this expert, and they said, no. I tried, and it doesn't work. Maybe something that's impossible without God's help. Don't limit God's ability to do the impossible. Perhaps it's a failure or a mistake that you just can't shake. And though you really want to move beyond it, you want to, as the song says, you just want to shake it off. You just can't do it. Two, you got it. You're singing good. I got it in your head. You're welcome. You can't stop thinking of yourself in that way. But God says, don't laugh at the purposes that I have for your life. Because if you will discover God's purpose for your life, you can stand there and trust that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. See, Sarah is listed in Hebrews 11, which is our story of the heroes of the faith, not because she chuckled to herself, but because ultimately she believed. Ultimately, she trusted God. Now, she made some mistakes along the way, quite a few of them. But one thing she did do is she kept coming back to this trust and faith in God. And she laughed when God made this promise because it was bigger than she could even imagine. But she went through a season of learning to trust in God, a season of holy anticipation. And the final thing we want to learn from Sarah real quickly in conclusion is don't stop believing. Don't give up. There's another song I put in your head. You're welcome. See, in the journey of faith, there will be times when you have to hold on to the promises of God and don't stop believing. But Sarah and Abraham, they waited 25 years, and I don't have time to get into their whole story, but they waited from this moment when she giggled at God. She chuckled to herself. She stood there waiting in the water on her surfboard, waiting for the wave to come. 25 years. Remember that next time you're frustrated at the timing of God. My God, it's been a day. Where's my promise? I'm waiting for the wave. I'm sitting out in the water. It's been 2 days. It's been a week. It's been a month. It's been a year. 25 years. She sat there trusting and believing in Almighty God. And in our seasons like Sarah went through, I'll call them our Sarah seasons. Don't give up, whether it's a long season or a short one. Real briefly, the last scripture, Hebrews 11:13, it says, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive fully what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. I don't know about you, but that's such a visual picture. I can imagine Sarah, she got to see some of the promises of God come to fruition. She saw her son, but she didn't see the full lineage of God raising up kings from her, of God raising up nations from her. But she sat in the water and she saw the wave coming as she was about to depart this earth, and she welcomed it. Little did she know that King David would come from the line of her son, and that ultimately King Jesus would be birthed as a result of her sitting there in the right spot, trusting God when she couldn't even imagine that a wave was still coming. She saw it from a distance and welcomed it. That's how I hope I finish my race. Seeing some of the promises of God, but standing in faith, welcoming the legacy of faith that I leave to my children and my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. The legacy I leave to those people that I invest my life in, that I do life with together. I hope to one day be just like that crazy old lady and that crazy old man, Abraham, as they saw the end of days, encouraging the young guys and gals to go out into the water, to find where God is calling you, to discover God's purpose for your life, that you might catch the wave of what God is doing. That's how I hope and pray that each one of us would live our lives, in holy anticipation of the purposes of God coming to fruition. And as cheerleaders for the next generation, hey, get out there. Don't get up over there. Find where God has called you and sit there and wait for the wave of God's Spirit to come. I want to live my life in that way. See, they left security. They left comfort. They left those things to say, God, we trust you. And I'm willing to sit out in the breakwaters, trusting that this is where you've told me to line up my life. It's hard to see the promises of God when we feel empty, like Sarah did. But my hope and my prayer is that we would grasp onto this message of Sarah. See, she is a reminder to us that God has not forgotten us. God has not forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten your mistakes or your struggles or those things that you're going through. Although he does wipe away our mistakes, he casts our sin away from us as far as the east is from the west. That's a long ways. But our God has not forgotten you. And that's our reminder from Sarah. So no matter how empty we feel, or how abandoned, or how long we feel like we've been waiting for God to do whatever it is in our lives, God has not forgotten you. Because even when you're empty, God can fill you up and use your life to make a difference. Amen? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we conclude our time in prayer? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this fresh reminder that you are always with us. See, this morning, I believe God is calling men and women with Sarah-like faith. He's calling us to trust in him, to have a faith that believes, even though our circumstances don't meet our expectations. He's looking for a people that will seek God, that will sit in the place that God has called them to and wait for the move of God's Spirit. What step of faith is God calling you to this morning? Perhaps the Spirit of God is gently nudging you during our time, reminding you of some area of life that you've stopped trusting in him, or maybe you've given up on your God dream. Like Sarah, you laugh at God. Say, God, how could you possibly do that now? How could you possibly use my life for that in this season? Like Sarah, you've laughed at God and given up. I believe the Lord of heaven is reminding us this morning that he is the one that can do the miraculous. No matter how far we've gone past what we think is our prime, matter how beyond we think we've gone, God can do those things. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that you'd remind us that you have never left us, that even when we go through those seasons of dryness, of emptiness, of feeling abandoned, we know that you have never abandoned us, that you're the God who goes with us. So Lord, I pray that over each one that's here today, that you just remind us that you are with us when we feel alone and empty, that you remind us that you are right with us, that you want to fill us up with your Spirit. God, I pray that we would find rest as we just wait on what you want to do. Lord, just as that picture of a surfer waiting for the wave, Lord, may we find peace and contentment waiting on the promises of God, lining our lives up in such a way that we'll catch what you want to do. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And finally, with every eye closed and every head bowed in this place today, it might be that you're here today and you've never received the free love of Jesus Christ. And no matter how many times you've blown it or how many ways you've made mistakes, God has paid the way for your forgiveness. But the question is, will you receive it? If that's you today and you find yourself here and you've been crushed by the waves of life over and over again, and it's time for you to come home to God, I want to make an opportunity for you to do just that in just a moment. See, if you haven't been walking in a relationship with Jesus Christ and you want to admit to God your need for his forgiveness for your past, your need for his power for your present, and your need for his eternal life for your future in heaven. If that's you, with every other head bowed and eye closed across this place, I want to ask you just to lift up your hand and let our eyes meet. I want to agree with you in prayer. I'm not going to call you down front or do anything weird. So if that's you, would you just lift up your hand right where you're at? Anyone in the house today? Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you love us, that no matter how far we go, we've never gone too far for your love and grace. Lord, I pray blessing over your people today. Lord, might we walk in the fullness of the knowledge that you are a good God with a divine purpose for each one of our lives. Lord, as we walk from this place, may we be filled with your Spirit. Line us up to catch the wave in a new and powerful way. All God's people said, amen. Amen.